Greetings to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Readings for the fourth Sunday of Lent begin with the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste to mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of God? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm is Psalm 142. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of this prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Here ends the reading. The epistle is from the fifth chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, verses 8 through 14. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and all that is right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He said, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. And so I went and I washed and I received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and I washed and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, that I was blind, and now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone could open the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. And having heard God's word, we all confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If you've ever been to a circus or a carnival and been into one of those house of mirrors where the glass in the mirrors is bent or curved, it can make the reflection into a very funny or even a very scary shape. Or if you've looked through an old window, or sometimes even a new window with a slight flaw at a corner or along the edge, the image you look at through the glass can become distorted or misshaped. In Isaiah's day, God's people have been seeing things only through their own dark lens with a certain distortion, missing what God had wanted them to see. The only correction for that is Christ. Jesus gives us the light of the world and a clear lens and eyes to look through to see the world differently. Even today, God's people have been looking at things all wrong. All of us want to look at our fellow man through loving eyes, as we are taught by Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. But often, that allows us to have the misconception that is often repeated, all men deserve to be treated equally because we're all in the image of God. But that's wrong. Since the fall into sin by Adam and Eve, we are all conceived in sin and born into the darkness of this world. So even in our forgiven state as Christians, we see things through a distortion of rose-colored lenses that make everyone look good, quote-unquote. Our eyes do not work the way they should, as evidenced by my glasses. How many of you have sight with the help of glasses or contact lenses or even corrective surgery? In addition to that, there are cataracts, deterioration of the sight with age, such as macular degeneration. And then in addition to our physical problems, we have the desire to look at things we shouldn't look at, like those magazines behind the counter or movies with explicit scenes, or just a simple click of the mouse with your computer can take you directly into fantasy land. Then in addition to the physical and fantastical imagination images, trying to see the things of God for what they truly are, simple water, bread, and wine providing the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life and salvation, just seems impossible. When the disciples witnessed the healing of the man who was blind from birth, they thought the suffering of the man must have been his parents' fault since he was blind from birth. Well, it must have been their fault. All of this wrongful seeing stems from idolatry, Isaiah says. When you look into false healing, false beliefs, and place your trust in anyone or anything but the triune God, that is idolatry. God is deeply affected by our looking at things the wrong way. In Exodus 20, he tells you, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He will not tolerate any of this sort of behavior. He's been holding his peace and restraining himself for a long time, Isaiah tells you, and now he's angry. He's now like a woman in labor, crying out, gasping and panting. God is profoundly affected by our sin. It's all of us. We're all guilty. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But at the same time, Isaiah prophesies a new picture of life for his people, that is about to emerge. He's making ready the way for his own visitation, lowering the high places, for example. God's people were intended to look at things in a much better way. Isaiah reiterates the special status of Israel as the servant of the Lord. God's chosen people were called to be a blessing for all nations. But the ideal servant of Isaiah 42 has turned into the blind servant of sin. The blind servant is all of us in our sinful condition. Our eyes see the Lord's deed in creation, in His Word, but our vision is distorted by our sinful condition. We don't pay attention to them as we should. Our ears hear the Lord's words, but we don't listen and observe them as we should. God Himself restores the way we see things. It begins with His call to repentance. Before we can truly see, we must admit that we can't see. By a truly repentant confession of our sins. In today's gospel, the blind man admits to his ignorance several times. While the Pharisees keep talking about how much they know, the blind man ends up seeing more and more clearly, while the Pharisees, who more than anyone else at the time should have been seeing the truth of the Messiah promised by the Scriptures, they become blinder and blinder. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." The clear vision of confession is the beginning of healing of our sight. It continues with absolution through God's word and sacraments. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The drowning of the old Adam in us through the waters of baptism puts to death that old sin that are crucified with Jesus. When our old selves are put to death, a new person with a new and improved vision arises out of the water to which he sends us. This giving of spiritual sight is entirely the Lord's work. Instituted and commissioned by Jesus when he was baptized and sanctified all water for the rest of the world, the sacrament is truly his. He continues to lead and guide and be with us as he attends his supper with us in flesh and blood in order to continue to feed our faith and provide food for the growth of that faith. God calls his people to look at the world with the light of the world. For when you see the light of the world, that light makes all the difference in the world. Just as light is necessary for you to see clearly, that light of Jesus provides that light. Those who are truly blind are the ones who see things only with earthly eyes. The light of the world, Jesus, changes how we look at things. Baptism is more than just simple water. The Lord's Supper is more than simple bread and wine. Suffering is not simply punishment or karma. And earthquakes and diseases are just not what they are. Suffering may be to display the works of God and His power. The theology of the cross means seeing our Lord hidden under the opposite of what the secular world would have us to believe. The cross is the greatest glory. Recall how darkness fell over the land when the one who is the light of the world hung on the cross. The light of the world is a daily lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Whatever it is that weighs most heavily on your heart right now, whether it's the tragedies that we're living day by day, look at it with a clear vision, with the light of the world. It is a light that shines in the midst of family troubles and disease, a light that depression can't touch, and a light that your own doubts can't put out. Whatever comes your way, see it through this lens first. There's no darker place you can go where this light is not there before you. You have the light that nothing whatsoever, not even your own death, can overcome. As much as the world in the darkness of its blindness wants to put it out,